Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can find me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you all being here. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. Appreciate you guys a ton. We've got a variety of different things to go over today. We're going to be going over Emmanuel Forbes. The Commanders released him. Should Green Bay pick him up? Some transactions for Green Bay. We're going to go over their current kind of playoff picture and sort of a viewing guide for Sunday as well, what we should sort of be cheering for, rooting for, watching for, etc. So we'll get into all of that today. Let's start with the transactions. Some fairly, you know, nominal transactions, right? Practice squad stuff, but still interesting nonetheless. They picked up Michael Barrett, a linebacker, and offensive lineman Marquise Hayes. Barrett was a 2024 seventh round pick out of Michigan, was picked 240th overall this year. Hayes was a 2022 seventh round pick out of Oklahoma, a 257th overall pick in the 2022 draft. So they picked up both of those players, bolstered the offensive line a little bit, bolstered the linebacking core. And we talked about all last week of how they kind of almost got caught with their pants down a little bit at the linebacker position. For a moment, it looked like they were going to be down to only three linebackers or three healthy linebackers on the entirety of the roster. Thankfully, they got McDuffie back just in time, and he kind of gutted through and played a great game this past week. So they did have four, but they were this close to only having three, including one who is a completely inexperienced third-round draft pick from this year. So this just gives them a little bit more depth at that position with Michael Barrett coming over. And then again, anytime you can develop that offensive line depth, it's always worth doing so. So they get Marquise Hayes, again, a offensive lineman to add to the practice squad as well. Now, in order to do so, they did need to release someone from the practice squad. That was wide receiver Malik Knowles, who was on the practice squad for the past few weeks, handful of weeks, and he is now no longer on the team. So those were the transactions for the day. Picked up Michael Barrett, a linebacker, Marquise Hayes, an offensive lineman, and released Malik Knowles, the wide receiver. From a potential transaction standpoint, there was an interesting move that had happened, and that was the Commanders released Emmanuel Forbes. And immediately, the fan bases for 31 other teams said their team should claim Emmanuel Forbes. Emmanuel Forbes was a first-round pick last year in 2023. He was taken one pick ahead of Christian Gonzalez, the great corner for the New England Patriots, who's off to a great start last year and this year already. They picked him a pick before that. That would legitimately, I mean, be like the Packers cutting LVN right now. I mean, top 20 pick, 1 year later, not even a year and a half later. I mean, can you even imagine? Like the Packers just being like, no, we're done. We're good. We're done with LVN. You know, you can say what you want about LVN at this point, and he has shown some signs as of late. If you want to talk about bust, like imagine cutting your first round pick a year and a half after selecting him. I mean, that is a aggressive maneuver by the Washington Commanders, but we have seen this story on numerous occasions at a variety of different positions where somebody drafts somebody in the first round or early in the draft, and it's not a fit for that particular team, and he gets released. It's sort of a wake-up call for that player, and he ends up performing much better on his next team. I mean, we don't even need to go over the names. We can go over a variety of different players at different positions. It happens all the time. So if you're a fan of the Packers or 31 other franchises, not named the Commanders, right, I can understand why you would be interested in bringing in Emmanuel Forbes. Now, he has not been what you would call good. Here's his PFF info. We can talk about the grades, but then more importantly, the statistics that kind of go along with it. In 2023, he played 482 snaps with a 50.9 PFF grade, which isn't the most brutal score for a rookie corner, right? Rookie corner, it's a tough position to play. You're coming in and, you know, he's a interesting prospect at corner, very undersized. He's tall enough, right? But he's very, very thin and wiry, made a ton of plays in college. Reminded me a lot of Asante Samuel, the original Asante Samuel, where, you know, kind of on the thinner, leaner side, but just continued to make pick sixes and like just crazy plays all over the place. A lot of interceptions, kind of that sort of comp, right? But the 50.9 grade for a rookie corner, it's not the end of the world, right? In 2024, he's barely gotten on the field. Remember, it's a kind of new entire regime in Washington. Only played 108 snaps in 2024 so far with a 35.4 PFF grade. In his career, he's been targeted 69 times, allowed 46 catches, a 66.7% completion percentage, 15.8 yards per catch, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 9 pass breakups, 5 penalties, 113.7 passer rating. So every time that he is targeted, the quarterback has a passer rating on average of 113.7. To make things worse, he has a missed tackle percentage in his career of 24.6. He is missing tackles basically one out of every 4 times. So it has been a struggle for Emmanuel Forbes. Now, whether or not Green Bay should sign him, that's an interesting story. So here's the process for Emmanuel Forbes. Number one, he's going to have to go through waivers first. Now, the team that would pick him up off of waivers would take his remaining cap hit this year, which is it's less than $1 million. So it's not concerning. It would be fully guaranteed for the remainder of this year. In 2025, he would have $2.1 million remaining on his contract for 2025, and it would be fully guaranteed. And in 2026, it would be that year as well, fully guaranteed $2.8 million. So remaining salary this year, under $1 million, guaranteed. Next year, $2.1 million, guaranteed. 2026, $2.8 million, guaranteed. So you're basically getting 2.5 years at about $5 million, but it is fully guaranteed, a little over $5 million, but it's fully guaranteed. So if you were to release him, let's say he doesn't make the training camp next year, right? Doesn't make it out of camp and they end up releasing him, they'll owe the full $4.9 million over the next 2 seasons in dead cap hit. And that would be for any team that would pick him up, any team that would claim him, I should say. So any team that claims him off of waivers, that's what they're staring at in the face. So like the cap hit this year is minimal, right? And next year, 2.1, the following year, 2.8. Those aren't bad. For comparison's sake, Corey Ballantyne this year, who has no real like legitimate upside, right? Is like a nice number 5 corner who can play teams and fill in a pinch. He's at $2 million in salary this year. So 0.1 more for Emmanuel Forbes next year. That's nothing, right? That's absolutely nothing. So from a salary cap standpoint, you could work it out, but the guaranteed money for a guy who's really struggled so far, that makes it a little bit more difficult. I'm honestly at like a 50-50 as to whether or not he gets claimed or not. My guess is somebody who liked him in the draft takes a flyer and claims him. And then if you go that route, Green Bay's, I think, 28th in waiver wire priority right now. They're 27th, 28th, somewhere in that list. So if somebody else claims him, you know, it's probably not going to be Green Bay, right? It's probably not going to get down to them. Now, yeah, 26, sorry, I knew I had it on my notes here somewhere. He's 26th on the waiver wire priority, or Green Bay is, if they wanted to go get him. Now, maybe Green Bay would claim him. I doubt it. You know, he's 180 pounds at 6 feet tall. He is not exactly their type. For example, Jair Alexander, 196 pounds, Ballantyne's 196, Nixon's 200, Rochelle's 193, Stokes is 194, Valentine was 189, but he continues to put on muscle mass that they talk about all the time, so he's probably over 190 now. Haddon is over 190, he's at 192, and Kalen King's at 190. So pretty much the entirety of their cornerback room is 190 pounds or heavier, and he's 180. Like, he does not fit the mold of what Goody looks for. Add in that Jeff Hafley looks for tackling corners at all of his cornerback spots, and he doesn't necessarily fit in there either. So do I think that Green Bay is going to claim Emmanuel Forbes with the money that's remaining on his deal for a corner that doesn't exactly fit the scheme or their prototype at corner? I do not. Would they sign him if he claims waivers on a 1-year, you know, sort of minimum deal to kind of see what he has and bring somebody else into that room? Maybe. I think that's a maybe. And then the other option would be if this goes the Jamin Davis route, where he gets waived, nobody claims him, and then he has the opportunity to go to any team and nobody signs him to a 53-man roster deal, and then he's left with only a practice squad spot. Then in that scenario, I could see Green Bay saying, like, screw it. Yes, we're interested. But then you probably are fighting, I mean, almost the entirety of the league that's probably willing to offer him a practice squad spot. And then he would have to be willing to accept Green Bay. Long story short, would I do it? Absolutely. I would try to find a way to get him on the roster. I probably wouldn't claim him. I would probably give him a 53-man roster spot. I did like him coming out of the draft, not necessarily for Green Bay, because again, he's not exactly their type, but I did like him. Again, it reminded me a little bit of New England Patriot Asante Samuel. So like, take a flyer. Well, like, there's really no harm, no foul at this point in time. And maybe you can find something. Maybe your defensive backs coaches can figure out something to fix what's been going wrong. I don't know, but I wouldn't mind that at all. My guess is Green Bay does not claim him. My guess is Green Bay does not offer him a 53-man roster spot. And my guess is Green Bay would say like, hey, yeah, we'll give you a practice squad spot, but probably loses out to some other team if it gets down to that point. We finally made it. It's Thanksgiving week, and that means even more football to digest all throughout this wonderful week. Miami's coming to Green Bay for an epic matchup on Thursday Night Football. And let's just say it, Jordan Love is owed a turkey leg this year. But that's not all we're looking forward to this week. We're also looking forward to another winning week on Prize Picks. And with Prize Picks, you can win up to 100 times your money with as few as 4 correct picks. And right now, when you sign up, you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Now, Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season. Which players are going off, which ones aren't, make your picks in fewer than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. Now, this week, I am going with Tyreek Hill against Green Bay. Yes, you heard me right. I'm going with Tyreek Hill against Green Bay. I'm also going with Tucker Kraft against Miami's defense. Then on Sunday, I'm going with James Cook against San Francisco on Sunday Night Football. And I expect both Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson to put on a show in the Sunday afternoon slot. The best part is there are a ton of options out there for you to choose from. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after your first $5 play. Prize Picks. Run your game. So I do not expect to see Emmanuel Forbes in green and gold, but I would love to be wrong if that does end up coming to fruition, and that'd be really cool. I think it'd be a fun flyer free agent signing, especially with the Jair injury, not knowing where it's at. One thing I'll add on top of this, whether it's a practice squad guy, a claim, or a 53-man roster, however they do it, I wouldn't expect him to just come in and all of a sudden start playing a ton. I think he would have to earn that job. And that's why, again, I just don't think they claim him for that guaranteed money. But we shall see. It's an interesting discussion nonetheless, and it's an option. If nothing else, it's an option. At least that Green Bay could put in a waiver claim. But if they do, I'll add one more layer on top of this. If Green Bay, a very conservative team, especially when it comes to like guaranteed deals and things like that, if they're willing to put a claim on him, one of the 25 teams in front of them are almost assuredly willing to put a claim on him, right? So it's a really tough needle to thread to say, if Green Bay claims him, somebody else probably already did. And then if nobody claims him and he becomes just a free agent, is Green Bay willing to offer him a 53-man spot? And if so, is he going to take it over the other offers that he gets? Will he be willing to go to Green Bay? And if nobody offers him a 53, again, probably everyone's offering him a practice squad spot. And then again, out of 32 teams or 31 teams, is he willing to choose Green Bay? Probably not, right? Or, I mean, maybe, but like the odds are probably just slim. 1 in 31 at that point. So we'll see. Just don't expect him to get to Green Bay, but it would be a cool signing if Goody did go that route in some capacity. All right, with that, let's get to our Packers playoff picture, where things currently stand right now. As of right now, as we are listening to this, talking about it, or hopefully viewing this, assuming at least it's before the noon kickoff, if it's after, I still don't even really see anything changing. But as of right now, the Packers' current playoff odds per the New York Times playoff predictor are over 99%. So not quite 100, but greater than 99%. So the odds are very much in Green Bay's favor that they are going to make the playoffs. Now, what happens if they have a variety of losses the remainder of the year? Well, here's what happens depending on what record they have the remainder of the year. If they go 0-5, which would be pretty catastrophic, and do not see that coming in any way, they would still have a 22% chance of making the playoffs. So basically a better than 1 in 5 chance of making the playoffs, even if somehow they lost their next 5 games. It's not out of the question that they could still make it if that were the case. If they go 1 in 4, just win one more game, they have an 83% chance, if they beat the Lions, Saints, Vikings, or Bears, and they have a 91% chance if that one win is against the Seahawks. So that's pretty good. Just one win gets you at minimum an 83% chance to make the playoffs. If you get two or three wins, you're between 99 and greater than 99.9% chance of making the playoffs. If you go 3-2, you're greater than 99% chance of making the playoffs. And if you go 4-1 or 5-0, you have a 100% chance of making the playoffs. So for all intents and purposes, 2-3 gets you in. 3-2 gets you in. 4-1 or 5-0 guarantees to get you in. 1-4, you still have a really good chance, like better than a 4-5 chance. And even 0-5, you've got a 1-5 chance. All right. Now, we know that Green Bay is going to make the playoffs, right? Not to, you know, sort of jinx it or anything like, but we just heard, right? Unless they go 0-5, they're basically probably getting in. So they're going to get in the playoffs. But what about winning the division? Does Green Bay have any realistic chance at winning the division? Well, per the New York Times machine, if they go 5-0, all right, they win the remainder of their games at this point, they have a 37% chance of winning the division. So a little over 1-3. It's not the worst, right? It's possible. But even if they go 5-0, which is no easy task, that's beating the Lions, the Vikings. Of course, I think the Saints look much tougher. The Seahawks look much tougher. And then the Bears at the end of the year, which, you know, should hopefully be a win. But still going 5-0 is not going to be any real picnic, right? And even if they do that, it's still only a 37% chance of winning the division. If they go 4-1 with a loss to the Lions, and it's just that's the only loss they have, it is a 1% chance of winning the division. 4-1 with a loss to Seattle is a 13% chance. 4-1 with a loss to the Saints is a 22% chance. 4-1 with a loss to the Vikings is a 3% chance. And 4-1 with a loss to the Bears is a 7% chance. So the best case is a 4-1 record with a 4-1 record would be that loss to the Saints and winning in your three division games and against Seattle, in which case you would have a 22% chance of winning the division. But overall, not great, right? Unless they go 5-0, and even then, still a little over a 1-3 chance. Now, what about a realistic 5-0 scenario that could win Green Bay the division? Like, is there a realistic version of that out there? There is. It's actually not super complicated. Now, Green Bay, again, probably the most complicated aspect of this is that the Packers need to go 5-0 in order to do this. The Lions would need to lose to the Bills in week 15. That's not crazy, right? The Bills could easily beat the Lions. It's in Detroit, but the Bills could beat the Lions in week 15. And then the Lions would need to lose to the Vikings in week 18. And that's it. I mean, it's not like you need some help from the Vikings in that case. I think the Lions are clearly the better team than Minnesota, but it's not impossible that Minnesota could come up with a win against Detroit. And it's certainly not impossible that the Bills could beat Detroit. So Green Bay goes 5-0, which includes wins against the Vikings and the Lions, right? Lions lose to the Bills, Lions lose to the Vikings, and Green Bay wins the division. Green Bay would have, in all likelihood, the one seed or the two seed, depending on what happens with Philly. But in likelihood, they'd have the one seed in that scenario at 14-3. The Vikings would have the five seed at 14-3, assuming they won the rest of their other games. And the Lions would have the six seed at 13-4, assuming that they won all of their other games. So that's the scenario. 5-0 for Green Bay, Lions lose to the Bills, Lions lose to the Vikings. And then the Vikings and Lions could win all their other games, and Green Bay still wins the division. How about a realistic scenario where Green Bay goes 4-1? Well, in that scenario, the Packers would need to lose. Their one loss would have to come to either the Seahawks or the Saints. They cannot lose it in the division. So they'd have to beat the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears, and that one loss again, either to Seattle or New Orleans. The Lions would once again need to lose to Buffalo. The Lions would need to lose to the Vikings. And when I say need to, they don't need to lose to Buffalo. There's other scenarios, but that's the most realistic one, right? Like there's ways that they could beat the Bears. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But the Lions would need to lose to the Bills. The Lions would need to lose to the Vikings again. Again, Packers beat the Vikings and Lions and go 4-1 with only the loss to Seattle or New Orleans, excuse me. Lions would then need to lose to the 49ers in week 17, and the Vikings would need to lose one game to either the Cardinals, the Falcons, or the Seahawks. not impossible, but that in that scenario, the really hard thing to imagine and believe is that the Lions would lose four of their final five games, right? Like that is a tough pill to swallow that they're going to go 1-5 or 1-4 in their final five games. Like I just don't see that happening. Now the Lions could go 2-3 and Green Bay could still clinch in that scenario if the wins for Detroit were against the Bills and the 49ers and they lost to Chicago. Not likely that they're going to lose to Chicago, although it did almost happen just a week or on Thanksgiving. So it's not completely impossible. So there are some scenarios out there, but in all likelihood, these Lions scenarios where they go 2-3, but lose to the Bears or lose four of their final five games, it's just not likely. So Green Bay probably needs to go 5-0. And then even then you need to get some help with the Lions losing to the Bills and the Lions losing to the Vikings. That's the most realistic scenario for Green Bay to find a way to win the division. But in that scenario we just mentioned where Green Bay goes 4-1, the Packers will once again either get the 1 or 2 seed depending on what happens with Philly at 13-4. The Vikings would be 13-4 and would go to the 5. And then the Lions would get the 6 at 12-5. So those would be those scenarios. All right, as of right now, the projected playoff seeding, if you kind of go through and pick the Vegas favorites the remainder of the way, which is it's not going to go chalk, right? But it kind of gives you the idea of where things stand and what's kind of expected. The Lions would end with the number one seed. The Eagles would end with the number two. The Buccaneers would have the 3. The Cardinals would have the 4. The Vikings would have the 5. The Packers would have the 6. And the Commanders would have the 7. All right, so Lions, Eagles, Bucks, Cardinals, Vikings, Packers, and Commanders. So what that playoff path would look like would be Packers at Buccaneers to begin with Commanders at Eagles and Vikings at Cardinals in round one with the Lions having the bye. So Packers at Buccaneers, Commanders at Eagles, Vikings at Cardinals, and then Detroit once again having a bye. So let's assume in that scenario that the Packers, the Eagles, and the Vikings win those matchups. You would then end up with Packers at Lions, Vikings at Eagles, and then if Green Bay beat Detroit, they would go to either Minnesota or Philly, depending on who won that game. And then if they won that one, likely facing either what, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens in the Super Bowl, maybe an upset team, maybe a Steelers or a Texans or something, but in all likelihood, likely either the Chiefs, the Bills, or the Ravens. So that is your potential playoff path right now. At Buccaneers, at Lions, at Eagles in all likelihood, and then a Super Bowl against the Chiefs, Bills, or Ravens. So can Green Bay go on a 4-0 stretch against those teams? It's a tough ask. I think they can certainly beat Tampa and Tampa. I don't have much concern about that. We're about to get a glimpse of how Green Bay looks in Detroit, right? And if they're competitive there, we saw them win against Detroit in Detroit just last year on Thanksgiving. So not unfathomable. Packers at Vikings or at Eagles. Tough games either way, tough places to play. But Green Bay can get their revenge on Philly and bookend, it with the loss to the Eagles in the Brazil game with a win against the Eagles in the NFC Championship and then winning a Super Bowl against the Chiefs, Bills, or Ravens. That's what you're looking at right now as a potential playoff path. Now, as far as what you're sort of cheering for in week 12, there's not actually a ton that affects anything in any major way. Now, we talked about a 4-1 scenario where the Vikings could have to lose one more game. I mean, either way, you're cheering against the Vikings, and Green Bay could move up from that 6 to the 5 seed as well, so that could potentially be valuable, depending on how some of that stuff plays out. So, they could move up there, so you're certainly cheering probably for the Cardinals, and that does increase their chances of winning the division by about 2%, but it's nothing major, but it's not going to be difficult to cheer against the Vikings anyway. Seahawks, Jets, Titans, Commanders, Rams, Saints, Buccaneers, Panthers, Eagles, Ravens, 49ers, Bills. It doesn't play a huge part. 49ers, you can kind of get them eliminated if they lose to the Bills. Eagles and Commanders, I think those are interesting ones. If you're maybe thinking of it this way, where Green Bay is likely going to be a wild card team and they're going to have to go on the road to potentially the number two seed if they were to finish in that 7 spot or something like that. In that scenario, it's probably best that you're going against the Commanders. Like you kind of want Philly on that wild card side, right? Or on the 5-6-7 side, because then really the only way you would play Philly is if you saw them in the NFC Championship game. So you would probably prefer Washington to win the East and Philly to be a wild card. So, a roundabout way, you can make the argument of like maybe cheering for the Commanders and against the Eagles. That's maybe a, you know, something that you could potentially look at as to cheer for. But, you know, overall, there's actually not a ton that moves the needle in any significant way for Green Bay. I mean, cheer against the Vikings, cheer against the Eagles, I think either way, cheer against the 49ers just to kind of get them eliminated. But outside of that, there's not a ton that you need to really root for. And that's a credit to Green Bay and what they've been able to do to put themselves in a position where we're not at a point where like, oh my goodness, we have to have so-and-so win and then we need a tie or like this version of that to happen in order for Green Bay to have a chance to make the playoffs. It's nothing like that. They're going to make it. Now the only thing is, can they make some sort of push for the division? And I mean, obviously they still need to clinch. Nothing's guaranteed. So there's still work to be done, job not done. But you know, right now they're in all likelihood going to make the playoffs. They're not going to need help from other teams, but they will need some help if they do want to win the division. Unfortunately, Detroit can't lose because they already won against Chicago in a game they potentially could have lost. Thanks, way to go, Matt Eberflus. I will say it actually did sting a little bit that the Bears weren't able to get that win. That would have opened up multiple different scenarios where Green Bay to potentially win the division, but it didn't go that way. So now it's going to be a little bit tougher and Green Bay's probably going to have to go 5-0 to pay that off. Either way, you know, again, we don't have to look at other teams needing to win or things like that. This is about the Packers and can they get hot at the right time? Can they get the right matchups and can they go on a run? It's going to be as simple as that. I mean, it's not simple, right? But that's going to be the story. They're going to have three really tough opponents back to back to back in the NFC playoffs and then have a really tough opponent in the Super Bowl. It's going to have to be an epic four-game run for the Packers. But you know what? You've seen it before. Hopefully we'll see it again. But that's going to have to probably be the path for the Packers moving forward. It's probably going to be the wild card. Probably not going to be the division. Probably going to be on the road. It's not the worst thing in the world. But either way, I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to see how they play the remainder of the season. We get a day off or a weekend off, not having to, you know, kind of cheer for anything crazy. So we can just enjoy a variety of NFL football on Sunday. I know somebody was asking me of like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? 7 hours of commercial free football. Are there those of you out there that are still unaware of NFL Red Zone? So Scott Hansen on NFL Red Zone, every single time he opens up, he's like, you know, I forget the exact verbiage of, but we are now getting ready for 7 hours of commercial free football. Or are you ready for 7 hours of commercial free football? And so, yeah, if you're not watching NFL Red Zone, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you got to find a way to get that thing. That is a life changer. I can't even imagine just going into a Sunday, not having NFL Sunday ticket in some capacity. So find a way to make that happen. But I was in a variety of the comments of like, what do you mean 7 hours of commercial free football? I'm like, it's NFL Red Zone, my man. But yeah, definitely go and check that out if you have not already. But enjoy your NFL Sunday. Stress-free, easy going. Cheer against the Vikings. Again, probably cheer against the Eagles, but it's not going to change the Packers' playoff path in any meaningful way on Sunday. It's all going to be about the Packers from here on out and if they can go on an epic run come end of season and going into the playoffs. And that's certainly what I will be cheering for and what we will hopefully see the remainder of this year. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Mosey the Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, SoCal Pack, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Lovin' Football, and Dylan Patscott. I'll see you very soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.